Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, and I'm joined by the editor of Buffalo Spree, Elizabeth Licata.
Hi, Mark.
How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Happy early Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Well, the December issue is coming out, and in this issue, you give us the people of the year, the leaders in our community who have made a difference, and these leaders hail from the business sector, government, the arts, and there are a couple of everyday citizens thrown in as well.
Right, right. Some that are who are just activists who people might not think of official leaders, but who have led efforts that have been interesting and influential and have been in the news. I mean, this is something people of the year, this is something that the Buffalo News does. It's something that a lot of city magazines do every year toward the end of the year. Of course, you know, if any new people show up in December, we'll have missed them. But it's not something we've done, and of course, it's not everybody.
Your list includes the leaders of the city's top four cultural attractions:
yes.
The Albright Knox, Buffalo Philharmonic, Buffalo Zoo, and Shays Performing Arts Center. All have helped their respective institutions grow. What is it about Buffalo that attracts such talent? And this talent wants to stay here.
It is amazing whether we have people who come in recently, like Yanni Cyrene at the Albright Knox, or someone like Anthony Conti, who was a businessman here for decades, and then was dedicated to Shays. And I think that he'll, even though he's stepping down, I think that he'll continue to be involved. And I also think that Donna Fernandez, who came here, left very briefly, then came back, and really, who has her, her husband has worked in another state her entire tenure in Buffalo. So she's always been half in and half out, but she loves the zoo. And when she told me when she first saw the zoo, she saw the things that were wrong with it that had put it in threat of losing its accreditation. But she also saw the beauty, and she decided that she really wanted to help, and she certainly has.
20 years ago, I remember covering events at the Philharmonic that its very existence was threatened. 20 years later, it's thriving. Joanne
doing Fletta, great.
Dan Hart doing wonderful things.
She's
balancing
amazing.
The budget.
Yeah, both Dan and Joanne are. I did not do that interview, but they're both amazingly talented, very nice, and just efficient, accomplished people who just make it all look so easy. But of course, we know it's not. But they've made some big changes. They certainly have, and you know, I guess people of the year, there should be a joint people of the year for all the people who contribute to these organizations, who step forward, all the philanthropists who have make it possible for these organizations to continue. But they've made some changes, too, that in their programming. They have Friday morning concerts, which are very well attended. And that is a concession that a lot of the audience for the Philharmonic is retired. So it makes sense. So you're doing something that, that audience is happy with. So you're sort of working with reality and then stretching the envelope in other ways to try to bring in new audiences, but you're not pretending that the Philharmonic is something that it's not.
I once got into an email, I don't want to say war, but a difference of opinion with Scott Simon of NPR's Weekend Edition, because when the new female conductor of the Baltimore Symphony, and I don't recall her name right now, when she was appointed, he talked about the first female to lead a major orchestra in the United States. And I wrote to him and said, "Excuse me, Scott, we've got Joanne Fletta here at the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra." And he sent me back an email saying that the BPO, in his estimation, was a second-tier orchestra as opposed to Baltimore. And I, I wrote
Where
back
does he
saying,
get that?
I don't know, but I wrote back and said, I guess we'll have to disagree on this. But the BPO, in my opinion, is second to, second to no one.
It's first-rate orchestra.
Exactly.
It's performed at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
released. CDs. It's had famous conductors
yeah.
and music directors. Yeah.
And
such
so
as,
I think Joanne Folletta holds that distinction of being the first
she's wonderful.
Female
yes, she was. And I remember when my mother-in-law first came to, she visited us and came, and she said, I never, she had never, and she this these were her words, she'd never been to a concert with a lady conductor before.
Yeah.
And she's just great.
Let's move on to politics. Kathy Hochul, you wrote about her. Is there a more hardworking political leader
than
her?
I don't know how she does it. She crisscrosses New York State on a continual, unceasing basis. And she's cutting a ribbon here. She's breaking ground there. She's giving a speech there, all in the service of promoting and letting people know about all the great things that our state government is helping communities do throughout the state. And yet when you talk to her, she couldn't seem more relaxed. She talks about all the time about, well, we ride our bike every weekend, and I like to ride my bike along Ohio Street, and I ride it to Niagara Falls. And she just talks as though she's just living a life of leisure. I know this is not the case because we both get the
exactly.
You know, the press releases.
I get her
all
schedule every day.
Yeah, we get her schedule. And it's brutal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She does it with such grace and humor, and she's also a very down-to-earth person.
And she made the case that this governor, Andrew Cuomo, and his
Absolutely.
Administration is doing more for Buffalo than any governor in history. And we can see that with the Buffalo Billion.
We can easily see it with the Buffalo Billion. And there were just announcements today about Solar City and Tesla. And it's very, very exciting. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big part of it. And also the state has been responsible for a lot of the canal side work, medical campus, all the areas where you see growth in Western New York, the state has had some kind of hand in.
Then there's Congressman Brian Higgins, and I would make the case that I have never covered a more effective government leader from his work as a common councilman back
yes.
in the 90s to the state assembly and now as a member of the House of Representatives. He's gotten things done for Buffalo.
He gets things done. He's also kind of a brilliant guy. He's very intelligent. You know, as you know, he taught history, and so he completely understands the history of Western New York and what to capitalize and what we really need done. And I really think of him as kind of Mr. Waterfront, both Outer and Inner Harbor, and the settlement that he was able to get out of the New York, the Power Authority, is what has created a lot of the activity that we see there.
What do you think is in his future? Is he going to remain in Congress
point? Well, I mean, you have to obviously we're going into a really different political climate, but if you think about it, he has been effective for us in what is a largely majority Republican Congress for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
So unless, you know, the word comes down that nothing is ever to be done for New York State again.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to kind of consider the worst. But why wouldn't he continue to be as effective as he was before? I'm going to be optimistic about it.
Some names people might not be familiar with. For instance, Rick Smith. Tell us about him.
I can't imagine people would not be familiar with Rick Smith, but he is the man who purchased. Originally, he was thinking of ethanol production. He purchased the grain elevator structures that we now know as Silo City. But then the sort of bottom fell out of that, and he realized that he could use them. They could be used by cultural organizations and other organizations for tours, entertainment. And now he was the first one there. And, of course, now we see that there is the Riverworks.
Yes,
Riverworks has come up, and there's all kinds of other activity. And people regularly kayak, canoe, take, you know, boats along where the grain elevators are. And they're kind of a common destination, which I'm sure that you could not have imagined happening. I certainly could not have imagined it happening when I was in Buffalo, say, in the late 80s or so, or even throughout the 90s. We never thought that anything would happen with those. But Rick Smith is one of the chief guys who have made the grain elevators more than just empty sort of monolithic structures. They're structures that we use, and largely thanks to him.
Another everyday citizen, Seamus Scallivan.
Yes, Seamus. Well, Seamus and a partner have really made the slow roll happen, which was every Monday throughout the bikeable months. And of course, some people would say all months are bikeable, but Slow Row does have a specific season where it does end. And these are very popular bike runs that have really raised awareness of the importance of accessibility to biking throughout Western New York. And I think that's one of the most important things that they've done, regardless of the controversy that has occasionally surrounded them. I think that they have been key to people understanding that people want to bike. And now we have all these ready bikes around. And it's events like Slow Roll that make it possible, you know, that pave the way, literally, for us getting more bike lanes, miles and miles more bike lanes throughout the entire region. So we're going to be one of the top bikeable regions in the U.S. soon, we hope.
And I got to meet him. We were fellow judges for the Best Kielbasa contest at the Broadway Market last Dingus Day.
So. Well, and he also is very key at Larkinville, yeah, where he programs a lot of the entertainment there.
So one of the people of the year in the December issue of Buffalo Spree. Who would you like to add to the list? I'm sure you talked or thought about other names who you didn't have a chance to write about.
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, Mr. Zemsky,
yeah,
you know, Howard Zemsky, yeah, should have been included, and we just had a hard time getting a hold of him. He's somebody who comes. There's other state politicians that we didn't get to interview. I have a soft spot for all the cultural organizations, so, I mean, I would have liked to have talk to people at the History Museum, which is doing a lot of really exciting programming. So we hate to leave anyone out, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have to. And I
only so much space.
I'm sad that we didn't pay as much attention to Niagara Falls as perhaps we ought to.
Well, Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.